welcome to Riscario Radio, episode 101. I'm your host, Pramod Sharma, actuary to the wealthy. Today we look at the Globe and Mail on Canada's insurance loophole. What else is wrong? Once licensed, a life agent is not subject to any mandatory industry oversight, which differs significantly from all other sectors of the financial services sector, such as property and casualty insurance, securities, mutual funds, and real estate. That quote comes from a detailed investigation into the mysterious world of life insurance by the Globe and Mail. If you go to the blog post that accompanies this podcast, you'll find a link to the article. It's well worth reading. Silence condones. Those in the insurance world rarely take a public stance before an issue arises, or even afterwards. Silence is a lousy option. I've asked for help for years. Here are two examples. In 2007, I wrote about refuting myths about universal life insurance, and in 2009, squawking about life insurance. Those were all references to other things that were available online that talked about life insurance in ways that were not positive. I no longer bother asking, but I do what I can. Here are my thoughts on matters that aren't widely discussed that warrant attention. No education required. When we bought a Toyota 11 years ago, the manager said that new salespeople must have university degrees. Why? Because consumers are more educated and demanding. Even today, there are no educational requirements to get a license to sell life insurance. You don't need to graduate from university, college, or even high school. Your language and math skills aren't directly tested. In Ontario, you write a multiple-choice exam with 140 questions, get 55 wrong, and you still pass. I've written lots of exams, but the Life License Qualification Program, you're forced to take a course and pass a trial exam before you're allowed to write the provincial exam. I went through this process last year. At the trial exam, one candidate said he'd already failed 6 times. 6 times? Wow. At the real exam, there were candidates who had already failed more than once. Candidate conduct. Here's the degrading part. There are rules for candidate conduct. Here's an excerpt from the FAQ. The following will not be tolerated either during the exam sessions or while communicating with any of the administration staff. Swearing, raised voices, threats of violence, physical confrontation. Candidates are expected to arrive at the exam session dressed business casual and cleaned as if they were attending a client's home. During the exam, candidates are expected to restrain from making distracting noises and actions that may be considered in poor taste by the general public. Wow. Aren't those rules common sense? Yet there must have been enough issues to warrant writing them. There are even explanations for the rules. For instance, the dress code is in place to afford a level of professionalism and to show respect for the other candidates. Guilty until proven innocent. No training provided. Entering a field without experience is fine, but there's little training for rookies. Where help is available, the trainer wants to be paid. Whatever happened to mentoring? The rookie's initial prospects are friends and family. In a sense, the trainer is paying the rookie for access to them during joint sales calls. Heaped compensation. Rewards affect behavior. Insurance advisors receive most of their compensation at the time of sale. This puts the emphasis on selling you new insurance and replacing old coverage instead of servicing what you already have. How is that in your long-term interest? Client satisfaction surveys routinely show that you aren't getting the level of post-sale service you expect. Complicated products. Insurance combines the worlds of risk, accounting, investing, and law. That's very sophisticated and requires a team approach. Using a team creates two problems for you. Cost. Advisors are reluctant to pay, which restricts the quality of expertise you get. And bias. If your advisor gets free help from a specific insurer, there's an obligation to sell that company's products. poor explanations by insurers. Insurance companies are out to make money for their shareholders. Do you think they spend their marketing dollars on low-revenue products? Do you think they disclose all the drawbacks? Do you think all the advisors selling the products have a sound understanding? This week, I saw an odd presentation on how to use a retirement income calculator to sell investments. A case study was used. The assumptions weren't clearly stated and seemed biased. As you might expect, the high compensation solution won. The presenter had no handouts and even refused to email attendees a copy of the presentation for review. No reason was given. Instead, you could get training on how to use the tool. That nicely deflects the responsibility for usage and results to the advisor. No public hangings. The investment world actively polices, penalizes, and publicizes. Here are several examples from this week alone. $1 million fine for poorly documented third-party arrangement. $400,000 fine for firm and two reps. $75,000 fine for mutual fund salesman. $50,000 fine and permanent ban in misappropriation case. You need to see the tricks used by advisors and the boundaries of proper conduct. The life insurance world combines low barriers to entry, heaped commissions, and complicated products. There's bound to be trouble. Where are the public hangings? My mission. I've tried to act as your advocate by giving you insider insights. Here are some blog posts I've written over the years. 2007. How to pick an advisor. Does Warren Buffett buy term and invest the difference? The financial trail to taming your financial risks. 2008. Keeping promises, do you care about corporate governance? The two drawbacks of investing in life insurance. The top five insured strategies. The top insurers is bigger, better, or best? The pros and cons of financial leveraging. 2009. How advisors fool you in what you can do. Why you can't buy on price. Why financial literacy eludes us. Secret 7, the best tax sheltering in Canada. 2010. How advisors really prepare term life insurance quotes. What to do when your term 10 rates are about to spike. Three keys to getting your insurance claim paid. Does your advisor have these three elements? And the foolproof measure of trust. I'll continue in 2011. It would be so helpful if other advisors would participate in this process of education. P.S. The next podcast and blog post will be much shorter. You can read Riscario Insider online at blog.riscario.com. That's R-I-S-C-A-R-I-O. And follow on Twitter. Thanks for listening.